A new report examines the fiscal well-being of all 50 states, figuring out whether state governments can pay what they owe in the short run and the long run. Big picture, Wisconsin is in the middle of the pack at 28th best in the nation, but behind that number is some good news and bad news.
Report author Eileen Norcross joins us now. She's a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. Eileen, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, what were you trying to capture in this new report?
This new report looks at the comprehensive annual financial reports that all 50 states produce to look at their finances, and I was trying to measure how the states did on a short-term basis, whether they could cover bills in the short run, in the medium term, and also in the long run, how large are their debts.
And we can get into some of the comparisons in a moment, but by and large, are states doing well or poorly?
I would say it depends. We have some states that do well in the rankings, but that's largely due to the fact that they have a very low level of debt and they happen to have a good budget, a good year, a fiscal year for 2013 in terms of cash. And then some states, the states that are doing poorly in the ranking are those that have been amassing long-term liabilities that are underfunded over a long period of time. Most states are probably in the middle of the pack.
Well, let's get into some of the particulars here in Wisconsin. And this is all from before our latest budget round, so an asterisk on some of the questions here. But one of our bright spots in your report looks to be the state's ability to meet pension debts. What's the story there?
Wisconsin probably has one of the best funded pension systems in the nation, although I went in and recalculated that unfunded liability. In Wisconsin, the way it's calculated there, it's about entirely funded, 100% funded, relatively small liability. When I recalculated it on a guaranteed to be paid basis, I do find there's a bigger shortfall of $30 billion, and it's 74% funded, which is still among the best in the nation. So they have a very good record of making that annual contribution and stewarding the fund.
And this is an issue you've been looking at, not just in this report, but elsewhere. And a lot of states and local governments have had serious problems with pension liabilities. Is there something Wisconsin has done right that other governmental agencies could be learning from?
Well, I think it's the discipline. I think it's making that annual contribution and taking that fiduciary responsibility seriously. States that are doing poorly in that regard are states that elected to skip on contributions, to bond those contributions, and that added more debt. So some of those states are now paying the price for that and that they have huge unfunded liabilities.
In that sense, then, Wisconsin is more or less paying now for what it owes in the future. The cities we see in trouble, states we see in trouble, are saying, we'll figure this out later, in effect.
They've had that, unfortunately, they've done that for a period of years, skipping over those contributions, let's say in a tight budgetary year or when the market's not doing well, whereas Wisconsin seems to have had just much better discipline in making those full annual contributions.
Now, a place we're ranked lower here in Wisconsin, a category called a cash solvency. That sounds like, I think that's a short-term rating. We're ranked 41st. What is that? Why are we ranked relatively low there?
Cash measures how much liquid cash the state has on hand to cover short-term bills, how much short-term assets they have. And what that's looking at is how much do you have set aside, how much is available should there be a downturn. Here, Wisconsin does poorly in the cash ratio. They have less cash on hand to cover short-term bills by the most conservative metric, and a little bit under the benchmark is usually two. You should have twice the cash on hand to cover short-term bills. They're a little bit under that. It could be a reflection of the recession. I did go back and read Wisconsin report, and they're replenishing the rainy day fund now, which is good. So this could still be a residual from the recession.
Well, rainy day fund is a phrase I wanted to throw at you. This is something that for at least two decades, probably longer, Wisconsin politicians have been saying, we need a bigger rainy day fund. We don't have enough of one. And we'll ask Eileen Norcross about that in a minute. Just to refresh, we are talking to Eileen Norcross from the Mercatus Center. She looked at all 50 states, compared how they're doing and their fiscal outlook. Short-term and long-term, can states pay what they need to pay? Are things like pension mandates funded? Wisconsin fared very well on that. So some other categories, including some we'll get into, not as well. Coming up in just a bit, we'll be talking about a related issue, really financial literacy, but at a personal level, we'll hear from a lawmaker who says we need in our schools to be teaching financial literacy to all of our students at some point or another. This is something that happens in some schools around the state, doesn't happen in others. Our next guest coming up after the half hour says it should be happening in all schools. So, Eileen Norcross, rainy day funds, I was saying Wisconsin has been saying for a long time, politicians have been saying we haven't put enough into rainy day funds. Is this something that you think other states that rate better in this category have made more of a priority of?
A few states are doing a good job of rainy day funds. One of them is West Virginia. They have been very disciplined about that, and I think that is something they can be proud of. More states should be doing that. States that elect to keep those really underfunded are running into a bad situation when a recession hits. So I'd like to see improvement across the board in the states there. It's good to see Wisconsin's among those that's making that a priority, at least in their CAF, where they indicate it is.
And at budget time, does it often happen that, hey, we've got a tight budget, rainy day funding would be lovely, but we're going to put something else as our priority and forget about that for another year, 2 years, 5 years?
It depends on the design of the rainy day fund. It depends on the rules. Some states have a really strict requirement that they're going to put something in that fund according to a rule. When it gets to this threshold, we have to contribute. Others, it's a little more ad hoc. So that's how, across the states, it just varies in practice, how they're used and when they can dip into them. What are the rules around that rainy day fund?
Now, long-run solvency is another category you rated for states, and this is another one where Wisconsin comes in pretty low, 38th among the states. What goes into that?
That looks at the assets to liabilities. The net asset ratio is looking at whether the state might be using debt finance to pay for current spending. Here you have a negative net asset ratio, although it's not that negative. It's a negative 8%. That indicates that there may be issuing debt there to cover bills, which, you know, it should be evaluated in context, not necessarily an alarm. The long-term liability ratio measures liabilities to assets, and in Wisconsin, liabilities are 38% of total assets. That's a little bit lower than the national average, and long-term liability per capita is about average with the nation. So here, on a relative basis, they're about average with most of the states.
Now, as you say, that's not necessarily dangerous, but we hear accusations from usually the party not in power at any given time that taking on too much debt is kicking the can down the road, solving a problem today that's going to come back and bite us tomorrow. Have we seen other states run into problems when they went too far in that direction?
Absolutely. The states at the bottom of the ranking, Illinois, New Jersey, you've got Connecticut. These are states where they issued a lot of debt over the years to pay for ongoing spending. And then, let's say, bonding that pension contribution, their OPEB, which are those other post-employment benefits, are large and growing. So they're having to dip into this kind of debt funding to pay for these things. When you issue debt on top of debt, that then becomes a bigger problem. And those states are suffering from these much weaker long-term metrics.
So what happens in states facing that situation? Is that a case where, as we hear with cities, certainly where they're reevaluating what kind of pension benefits, health benefits former employees are getting?
I think it depends. I mean, what they have to evaluate is, you know, what did we legally guarantee to our employees, and how are we going to fund this and continue funding the current budget? This is something that I think Illinois and New Jersey are struggling with in particular, and you're finding even there they're just not able to keep up. They're not able to keep up with that yearly pension contribution. So I don't know what the answer is there, other than they're going to have to figure out different priorities, or they can either raise taxes, cut spending, figure out some kind of strategy.
And then another category we haven't talked about yet that you rated in this report is the ability for states, when they set a budget saying, hey, we're going to pay for this, that they can actually pay for it. How are we looking in Wisconsin on that?
In terms of the operating ratio, pretty good. It's average. You've got revenues exceeding expenses by 7% in 2013, so a little bit of a buffer, and a surplus of $419 per capita. So they had a good year in that revenues were slightly higher than expenses, a healthy operating ratio.
And this seems like one that could really change from moment to moment. Like if you suddenly had, say, a great recession happen in the middle of a year, revenue, say, sales tax revenue could drop. This is one that seems like it could be really subject to change over the course of a year or 2 years.
That's right. Those short-term metrics are subject to change, and I think they kind of give you a little bit of an immediate warning, a flag that, given economic conditions, we may not be able to meet the budget. The cash ratio is telling you, hey, we have to look at, are we building up that rainy day fund, or do we get into these situations when there's a recession? What is our cash position? So that definitely can be affected by the economy and by revenues.
Now, I know this all varies from state to state, but you've been looking at this as a huge mass of data. As somebody who researches how states work, how their budgets work, do you feel nervous? Are we headed toward problems in a lot of states in this country, or by and large, are we thinking ahead, doing what we need to do?
I think it's a mixed bag. I think that, again, some states seem to be more forward-thinking than others in terms of keeping that the cash position pretty healthy and also managing those debts. And those are some of the states at the top. And then towards the bottom, you've got, again, the states that were hurt by the recession, have not recovered, or are recovering in a very weak sense. And then you've got those pressing long-term liabilities. In the middle, it really does vary from state to state. Some states seem to be doing better managing that short-term position and looking out towards the long-term. But I'd say most states have got to do a better job of paying attention to those long-term liabilities and making sure that if you get a windfall, like a North Dakota, that you're using some of that to take care of the long-term debts and not just thinking about today.
Eileen, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Eileen Norcross, Senior Research Fellow at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University, talking about her new report on the fiscal well-being of states around the country.